Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. Teresa Walker will join us in about 15 minutes on the program. We'll talk all things local sports with her, including the Titans and their reporting. And so we've got some things to report on that. So let's start with, we asked the question, will anybody for the Titans opt out? Chase, and we already have our answer. Now, he's an undrafted free agent. I guess he's a tackle. Anthony McKinney has told the Titans that he is opting out for this season. So he becomes the first one to opt out.
Yep. And we've been kind of watching this list. ESPN has a page that they're doing a running tally of players that are opting out, and there's quite a few. I mean, that was one thing we discussed with other sports. You know, hey, were we surprised that there weren't that many for the NHL? Just a handful. Baseball, we know, but again, there's different levels of player for the NFL. But I mean, there's some starting players, starting pieces for teams that are saying they're out. But Anthony McKinney, the only one so far that I've seen for the Tennessee Titans.
Albert Breer is reporting that the Titans have also said their first-round pick, Isaiah Wilson, has been placed on the team's COVID-19 list.
Yep. That that actually came out, I believe, during Mike Vrabel's Zoom press conference that he is I think just wrapped up. So he was meeting with the media.
Wow, that went long.
Yeah, from what I can tell, I've been obviously, you know, watching Twitter, and I was seeing a bunch of tweets, and then a lot of the Titans reporters, and then Albert Breer also putting out there that he is on the COVID-19 list. So interesting, but they have the protocols in place, and that was something that from reading some of the reports and, you know, from the Titans reporters that they have protocols in place. I know that the PA and the NFL, they've approved of what the Titans have in place. The NFL is not going with the bubble model. They're going to be similar to what Major League Baseball is doing. Of course, it did come up, seeing what's happened with the Miami Marlins, albeit a different sport. Do you have concerns? And right now it is, well, the NFL has their protocols in place. Each team has their system in place, and that's what we're gonna go with. So that, I guess, this is a product of that, and they're going through the testing process. And right now, Isaiah Wilson will be starting right now on the COVID-19 injured list, or however they want to phrase it.
And they also learned that linebacker Jayon Brown will start on the PUP list to begin camp. So a lot of things coming out during Mike Vrabel's Zoom call. He also said, and hopefully we'll have some of that here a little bit later this hour, Mike Vrabel also telling the media that he is officially sick and tired of Jadeveon Clowney questions. Well, I get it, Mike, but that's how it works as a head coach. Those aren't going to go away until something happens. Too many people trying to connect that dot here to Nashville, and as long as that's out there and that narrative is out there, you're going to get asked. I get it. You're sick of it, but
I don't care that he said that.
I'm sure John Robinson's sick of it too, but that's how it works. Doesn't mean the questions are going to stop.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. So I don't have a problem with his reaction. I don't have a problem with him saying I'm sick of being asked, but at the same time, you're going to be asked. So what do you want? That you saying that is not going to stop it.
No.
You're allowed to be annoyed by it. Fine. I would be too. But it's not going to make it go away. So the only way it's going to go away is when he signs a contract, whether it's here or somewhere else.
Yep.
So and could that happen by the end of this week? Now that all teams are reporting, facilities are opening, again, we don't know, you know, exactly how it's going to work of working a guy out, bringing him in. You know, I saw that they're doing meetings in the bubble. Do they make a bubble in the bubble to put Jadeveon in so we can work out? I don't know. But I wonder if by the end of this week, if maybe we have a little more clarity on that situation because teams are reporting to their facilities and starting training camp. Now, without preseason, you know, the preseason officially being canceled, you know, does that delay it even further that they might wait a little closer? My thought is you'd want to get him in and have him in these meetings and in practice so he can learn your system and be good to go.
The Patriots lose Tom Brady in the offseason. They lose Kyle Van Noy in the offseason, who went to Miami. Of course, Tom went to the Bucks and Jamie Collins to Detroit. Today they've learned that six players have opted out, including linebacker Dante Hightower, their stud safety, Patrick Chung, and their starting tackle, Marcus Cannon, along with three other guys. A fullback, I think a backup lineman. Six guys for the Patriots opting out for this upcoming season. So, wow. They are going to have – you talking about being put to the test?
Oh, yeah.
Of all the praise that Bill Belichick has had, if he can pull this magic trick out and they win the division or this is a playoff team in New England, I'll have to see it to believe it because I don't believe it now. I don't believe for a minute that this is a playoff team, and I don't believe it's a team that's going to win the division. But, you know, people have been burned for a long time counting the Patriots out, but how do you get past all this?
Yeah, I don't think they do. I think it'd be I think it'd be very difficult. And you know, one of the players that opted out for the Bills, and I'm going to butcher his name, but Star Letulier, who's been a starter on defense.
Yep, the guy from you played at Utah.
Yep, yeah, he has opted out. So that's a big loss for them. But with all that said, they should still. I'm not going to say easily because I think that's unfair to say in the National Football League, but they should win the division.
They should win the division. Can they handle – but can – are they going to pull the Cleveland Browns? There's going to be a lot of pressure now to everybody saying the same thing. Bills are the favorite. Bills are the favorite. Buffalo, you should win the division. You should win the division. How do they handle that?
Right.
Because nobody's – they're not used to having that. So how do they handle real pressure where the pressure is, wow, you're supposed to actually win a division that the Patriots have owned for two decades.
Sure.
So good luck with that.
Where I just got back from in Florida, you know, granted I was closer to the Tampa area, so – a lot of Bucs fans, but there were several Miami Dolphins fans that I ran into, and there's a lot of optimism down there. Not necessarily okay Super Bowl this season, but you know there are a lot of people excited about the direction of that franchise and what they've done in the last couple of years, going from fire sale to rebuilding to Tua. And you don't know what you're going to have in Tua in his rookie year. I don't think anyone was really predicting that the Dolphins were going to be competing, but now with – or competing for that division, I should say. But now with the Patriots out, you know, do they – if the Bills do succumb to that pressure, does Miami reach up there and try and grab it, make a run at it? Are the Jets, you know, they obviously traded one of their best players away to Seattle over the weekend, but – what are the Jets? So that division's going to be fun to watch just from the unknown standpoint, and if the Bills can live up to the hype and overcome the pressure.
We had a really good conversation with ESPN's Jessica Mendoza in the second hour of today's show about the Major League Baseball season. Obviously, there's a lot going on in MLB. It looks like the Phillies and the Yankees – the Yankees were supposed to go into Philadelphia and play the Phillies. That game today has been postponed. Yesterday's game was postponed, and it looks like the reports are that they are going to play that series back in New York. So they are not going to play that in Philadelphia. Obviously, the Yankees had huge concerns. The Washington Nationals are supposed to go to Miami to take on the Marlins this weekend. The Nationals, as a team, have said, we have no interest in going down there. And I just read right now Bob Nightingale tweeting out that the Miami Marlins season has officially been paused.
Wow.
19 positive tests right now.
So what does that mean?
Says they likely won't be playing again for another week.
Oh, man.
This is according to Bob Nightingale.
Wow, and that's a pretty good source.
Guy we've had on the show many, many times, USA Today.
Morning.
Columnist for baseball, he is saying that the Miami Marlins season has officially been paused, and I guess he's getting this from someone who covers Craig Mish, who covers the Marlins. So as a part of their broadcast, I think he does a radio show down there as well in South Florida. So 19 positive tests. And now Major League Baseball is going to have to figure out what the heck to do with the Marlins. What do you do? You still going to get 60 games in?
Well,
you going to move? You going to cut 5 games off? You going to make it 55 game season? Like, how are you going to handle this? This is an oh crap moment already out of the gates for Major League Baseball.
Ken Rosenthal says he quote tweeted Joel Sherman, as Joel points out, even if the season is played to completion, some teams might not wind up playing 60 games. MLB recognized that possibility from the start because of the threat of the virus disrupting the schedule. Jason Stark, our buddy, responds and says, except this could be a much wider disparity. If the Marlins have to sit out a week or two, they could wind up playing 25% fewer games than the other teams in their division. So then what do you do? That's just
rut-row.
Yeah, I mean, that just creates so many problems. Of saying,
row, yikes. Okay, we'll come back. Teresa Walker, she covers the sports scene and landscape in the state and here in Middle Tennessee for Associated Press. We will talk to her next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We say hello and good afternoon to Teresa Walker, Associated Press. If things were normal, she would be overseas. She would be far in a land far, far away. Teresa, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And just when I was trying to get over that pain, now you go and remind me of what I'm missing, Darren.
Come on, Darren.
Sorry. I went right back there, didn't I?
You did. Just when the scab was forming and now it's ripped off, and the pain is fresh. But at least there's sports, and I'm not going to the bubble in Edmonton. I'm not going to Orlando with the Grizzlies. I am, however, going to Memphis, where there's a World Golf Championships going on later this week, and so I get to cover sports while we're still Zooming with everything else. And we did a Zoom session with Mike Vrabel in the last hour. At least I go get to see some sports in person, socially distanced, but in person.
Yeah. I mean, golf is, it's certainly a sport that is set up. We said all along, Teresa, that NASCAR and golf are the two sports that were really set up to try to forge ahead and get through this safely. It certainly they've both had their hiccups and had to deal with things, but non-contact, or at least in NASCAR, it's contact with metal in a car, not human contact, and the same with golf. So both have been able to, since they've got going, they've been plugging right along. What do you make of that event being in Memphis? How do you think it's no fans, right?
Still no fans. They had hoped to have fans there, a reduced number of fans. But, 2 weeks ago, they announced that nope, no fans. And, they had hoped to have some fans at Memorial a couple weeks ago. And then that just, that they also had to back out on that. So, they're having to get creative. It's a tournament down there that, helps benefit St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And, so they're doing some different things to try to keep the visibility of that hospital up front and center. But, you're going to see some fans because, there's houses all up and down that course and along the edges. So you'll see some fans, but nobody will be on the course. I do think I've been told that they'll be able to have the players themselves will be able to have their wives with them. There may be a little bit more of a corporate presence as they expand just a bit, but no fans. So, stay tuned.
So they had an undrafted free agent, inform them, the Titans, that he's opting out for this upcoming season. I guess Jayon Brown's going to start on the PUP list. Isaiah Wilson is going to be on the positive COVID-19. What else? Give us some more highlights of Mike Vrabel's Zoom call today with the media.
Well, Jadeveon Clowney is still not a member of the Titans under contract, and Mike Vrabel also said that, as of 12/27, he did not know if Clowney was even scheduled to, Clowney was not scheduled to come in and meet with the Titans and take a physical or something. So, in fact, there's a great GIF already circulating around Twitter if you haven't seen it. When the second Jadeveon Clowney story or question came up, He kind of just bent his head over. You could tell he's getting tired of hearing that question. But guess what?
It's not going away.
It won't go away until Clowney signs with somebody. It's not going away. And who knows? Clowney may be waiting until the deadline Monday to see what players opt out and what team maybe is really desperate for a guy who can help get pressure on the quarterback. And fans need to be prepared, as much as media, that this is going to be a different training camp, that different than anything we've ever seen. They're not going to have their first team meeting until Sunday. So, you know, like this was supposed to be the report day. Traditionally, we would have 3 to 4, maybe 5 players that we would have talked to and Vrabel out on the porch. Instead, we do Vrabel by Zoom. And, you know, these players have to get tested. And, you know, they have to have some repeat negative tests to be allowed in the building. Vrabel made clear that they had to pretty much, you know, Darrington Evans, I think, was the only rookie who'd gotten into the building. So they had to go around and give a tour to the rookies to show them where everything is. Now, in the locker room, they've got these 4-foot partitions between each locker to help, you know, keep guys safe inside the locker. But offensive, defensive team meetings are going to be out in the bubble. And, you know, they, you know, think about a, you know, if you've seen any, you know, they're going to have those mics on. You know, each player is going to have their own chair. They're going to be cleaning things, and you know they've had to rework how they do everything in the building. So it's you know they're not going to be really doing anything that looks football wise probably until around August 14th, 15th.
Bruce Arians, Tampa Bay's head coach, also did I think a Zoom call today with the media down in Tampa and was asked if he's planning on coaching from the box, because obviously he's had health issues, an older guy, and he said there's no chance that he is going to coach from a box and that he is definitely coaching this year. He said he'd wear a mask and a face shield down the sidelines before he went up in the box. Did Mike Vrabel address any plans on you know how he was planning on handling game days from the sidelines or how he was going to handle game days?
Not game days, Darren, but he was asked about any precautions that he might be worried, you know, thinking about. And guess what? This is where it's probably a good thing that Dean Pease, who was in his 70s, retired. You know, this is a much younger staff. You know, the addition of Jim Haslett. I haven't gone through the coaching roster, but I think Jim's probably the oldest on this staff. You know, and I'll just say this, Mike Vrabel's younger than me. He's in his 40s still. So, he's not in the high risk category, you know, that we've been told about 55 and up, 60 and up. I'm going to mention the 60 and up. I'm below that, thank goodness, but I'm still older than Mike Vrabel. So, you know, when we see these guys, if we get to games, they're going to be different. You know, are they wearing masks on the sideline? I haven't seen too, you know, if you watch Major League Baseball,
yep.
You've seen some of the stuff, you know, in Orlando, they don't have to do this. In the bubble up in Edmonton and Toronto, they don't have to worry about this because everybody behind that wall have tested negative and have been kind of cleared. So, but, you know, Major League Baseball and the NFL, Darren, are absolutely in the same category where you have to, you know, be careful because guys are going home at night. And you can trust them. You can emphasize the responsibility factor that's there. But, you know, we just don't know. So I think they've got enough on their plate at the moment just trying to get, you know, get guys into the building and see, you know, so far just the one opt-out. But, you know, before they even get to worrying about, you know, September 14th in Denver because, you know, let's face it, I think we're all waiting to see can we get NFL through training camp and actually get to the season, especially in light of the news from the Marlins in the last 24, 48 hours.
No doubt. So what does no preseason, no joint practices, which I think are probably more important, in my opinion, than I think they're more invaluable to teams than actual preseason games. I just think they're actually really well done. I think more teams should do it, my personal opinion. So there's none of that going on leading up to the start of the regular season. How do you think all of that and everything else we've discussed, because there's going to be hiccups along the way. There's going to be players right before the season are test positive or what have you, and you'll have to deal with that and sit them down. They're not playing. How do you think it's going to affect the product early on in the regular season? How different do you think it's going to look?
It's bound to look different at some point. You know, Mike Vrabel was asked, you know, do you consider maybe quarantining you know, players like a quarterback. And Vrabel essentially kind of punted on that answer, you know, just get through the season here and deal with all this right now. But that's the thing. You know, we've seen it already. You know, the opening game for Major League Baseball last Thursday night, who was it that, you know, was it Soto or somebody who tested positive?
Juan Soto, yeah, the national star. I mean, he's a star for them.
Exactly. So, you know, what happens if Tom Brady or, you know, shoot, you know, God forbid, Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill test positive and they're not able to take the field? It's probably a bigger concern with, you know, with Ryan Tannehill because, well, Logan Woodside and Cole McDonald aren't going to, you know, they're going to have in-team scrimmages and live drills are going to be the closest that they get to mimicking the speed of the NFL. And the one thing that you know of in watching the NFL, there's practice speed, there's OTA practice speed, there's training camp speed, there's live drill speed. It just keeps ramping up to there. NFL regular season game compared to practice, oh, baby, it's almost like you've turned it up to 11. Playoffs, you've ripped the knob off at that point. But, you know, the speed is going to be different, and it's going to be a challenge. The players that can adapt faster and the teams that can be ready to go when they start the season are going to benefit more. But at this point, just be prepared for it to be different. I wish I could be more specific, Darren, but it's tough at this point because, you know, we're in such uncharted territory.
Teresa Walker of the Associated Press here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And you read my mind because the quarterback is the biggest concern that I have, not from a Ryan Tannehill standpoint, but, okay, what if he tests positive or gets hurt? You know, normal concerns. Do you think that now more than ever, John Robinson, and he's been, you know, he's been pretty consistent that, okay, let's see what Logan Woodside has, and Vrabel has said that as well, but do you think now maybe he's looking even more of, I need to bring a veteran or have a veteran in mind that I know I can plug into the system as quickly as possible because of those unknowns?
Chase, it's a great question, and I think we all kind of have the answer remembering the regular season finale of 2018 is, yeah, you need a veteran. That said, whenever Vrabel or John Robinson have been asked about their quarterback situation, they reiterate how much they like Logan Woodside and need to see him and now Cole McDonald, their seventh-round pick out of I'm trying to say Oahu. Can you tell I want to get back to the islands? Hawaii. but, you know, that they want to see these two young quarterbacks. And with the deals that they're going to be faced with in the next couple of years, you know, Jayon Brown's going to be hitting free agency, you know, a couple others. I mean, you know, those decisions never stop. So they kind of have to have that longer range view. Can we get by with these young guys? Do we like them enough that we think we could survive a season with them? They're going to have to make that decision. But, you know, they want to look at Logan Woodside. They didn't get to look at him in the offseason program. If they had, maybe they'd have already made a move now and brought in a veteran quarterback. What we do know is that if we get through August as we hope for and are preparing to start the season, there are going to be veteran quarterbacks that are going to be available. That's when I expect the Titans to make a move, if they make a move. They really want to see these young kids first.
I want to get your opinion on a conversation that I had while I was on vacation with somebody, and it's along the lines of these unknowns. Like, what if a key player tests positive and can't play? Logan Ryan's still a free agent. He's still out there, which I think in normal times he probably wouldn't have been, but I'm still surprised that he hasn't been signed yet. Is there any scenario in your mind in the next few weeks in training camp that they may revisit that at some point, that he's going to have to take less, that he's priced himself out, that whether it's an injury or they look at some of the corners they have and have some concerns, could you potentially see that being revisited at some point in time?
Oh, certainly. But, you know, here's the thing. Logan Ryan, you know, as teams have injuries across the league, you know, somebody else may call him first, Chase. I mean, you know, and it didn't sure. hurt him that he showed up on the NFL 100 players list. You know, I'm not sure the number that he was at, but you know, he's an unsigned free agent out there right now, and kind of like Jadeveon Clowney. And you know, now they're at a point where they can kind of wait and pick and choose. And you know, Kenny Vaccaro was in the same situation a couple of years ago, and he waited. Jonathan Cyprian tears an ACL in the first week of camp. And then now he's with the team in his own long-term deal. So, this is a situation where Logan Ryan can absolutely pick and choose. Could he end up back with the Titans? Well, he certainly knows the system. But with the drafting of Christian Fulton, it just feels like they're ready. They made the decision that they're ready to move on at that position.
Teresa Walker with us from the AP. I have one more question. It's not a Titans question. So, okay. Because you cover everything. Who's going to start net for the Predators on Sunday?
Oh, that is a
I had to ask you.
Well, and in my preview series or my series preview of the Coyotes and Predators moved this morning. So, at this point, my heart says Pekka Rinne. He's one of four goalies out there who've started at least 89 straight playoff games. So if you start Saros on Sunday in these games, forget the exhibition game. I mean, that might be nice, but it's who starts game one against Coyotes that matter. At this point, my head tells me Saros because, he looked really good in the scrimmages over the last few days in Nashville, and he was playing well at the end of the season. That said, if you do that, then you've officially turned the door and you've moved on to UC Saros, and Pekka is officially his backup at that point.
It's going to be interesting. I think maybe Thursday the picture will become a little bit more clear on that question. Teresa, enjoy covering the event in Memphis, and thanks for the visit as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Darren and Chase.
All right, that is Teresa Walker, covers a sports scene here in Middle Tennessee and in the state for the Associated Press. We will come back and hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Not good news, if I could say it right, for Chase's Dallas Cowboys. Evidently, their stud defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence has said he is considering opting out for this season because his wife is pregnant. That coming out of Dallas today. Wow, that is interesting. Well, speaking of interesting, let's hear it with you because this just happened while we were on the air, and so we want to kind of end today's show by hearing what Titans head coach Mike Vrabel had to say today on Zoom to the local media.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Mike. As you guys are getting started and with all the precautions that have been taking place, you've got guys starting to test. Then you hear from Major League Baseball. A bunch of the Marlins now have tested positive, even from yesterday. How worried are you of being able to get through this training camp, let alone a season?
Well, not try to use worried, Teresa. Obviously always very concerned about the health and safety of our players and their family and the coaches and our staff in this building. But until we see how our protocols and our plan that the NFL and the Players Association worked so hard to put into place, till we see how those are going to function and work, we can't make any changes. We have to follow the plan, and then when things, when we're not happy with how things are going, then we have to quickly change the plan. So right now we're going to move forward with our plan of how we test the players when they come in and they report. They'll test today, they'll test tomorrow, they'll take a day off, they'll test again, and then they'll begin their physical procedures. So, we'll have a pretty good idea of how that's going. And again, we're happy with this Titans bubble that we've created, throughout this process.
Jim Wyatt?
Mike, I guess at the start, you mentioned the testing. What else are you allowed to do at the start as far as potentially having Zoom meetings as you gear up for a lot of conditioning work after that?
Yeah, the plan is broken up into two groups. We've brought the group in on the 23rd, and again now here on the 28th, and the days are you're looking at a 7-day window to start this thing off, and there's a test and a self quarantine. The next day there's a test and a self quarantine. Hopefully on the third day the players are more conscious of the quarantine. The fourth day would be their third COVID test. On the fifth day there'll be physicals that will be performed. And any other administrative meetings. On the sixth day, there would be some more, equipment fitting and more procedural work, some videos from the NFL. And then on the seventh day, we can start to have them come in and begin to have a normal day of lifting and meeting and running and a walkthrough. But, it's important for our rookies, that these guys, all but one, I think, Darrington Evans, we visited before the facilities were shut down. So for all but for one player, they hadn't been in this building. And so they didn't know where the cafeteria was. And, so we were able to split up into groups and do some walkthroughs and show them where the meeting rooms were, show them where stop and have a meeting with Todd and the protocols that have to happen in the training room and where guys need to tape and how we're going to operate with the cold tubs and treatment and then work through into the weight room with Frank and his staff and how we can properly physically distance ourselves as we work out and train and keep to that number of 15, which was negotiated by the league and the Players Association.
John Glennon.
Hey, Mike. A lot of reports, I guess, this morning about players deciding to opt out, including one about one of your undrafted guys, Anthony McKinney. Wondering if you can say whether that one in particular is accurate or not, and whether you believe that you'll have any other guys choose to opt out.
So obviously, very sensitive to the feelings of those players around the league that have done that. My focus is on our team, like it always is. But Anthony McKinney did inform John and myself that he was going to opt out. And we support all those players that have done that. As far as future players, have not talked to any of them. Again, we'll wait till our players make the decision that's in the best interest for them and their family before we proceed. And I think they have until Monday to do that. But Anthony came in and shared that message with us. And so we went ahead and moved moved him to the list and tried to get him where he needed to be.
Luke.
Mike, oftentimes training camp is very, very regimented when it comes to the schedule of things that you all want to get done in specific time frames. But with things the way that they are, how much will flexibility have to play into that with you and the rest of your staff as you come up with plans and a schedule?
Well, I mean, I think that's what we try to operate in. We try to have a schedule that we feel like is best for the players to be able to learn and develop and grow together as a team, and then always remain flexible, be able to adjust, be adaptive to what is going on around us and doing what's best for the team. So, we always have ideas on what those days are going to look like, but we always have to be willing to adjust and be flexible, just like we are during the season.
And then you mentioned some of the ideas that you have discussed and come up with for physical distancing and things like that, especially when it comes to what the actual practices will look like. How much of that has kind of been figured out and how much remains an ongoing discussion as to what the protocols will look like?
Well, the protocols are such that, players, but we have to be socially distanced in a meeting. Our squad meeting is in the bubble. Our offensive and defensive unit meetings are in the bubbles. The first, 8 days that they can begin activity is lifting and running. And, we work our way through different phases as it relates to having the coaches with them, after that 9-day window. And then we work through an OTA process where we'll look like we would normally look at, let's say, veteran mini camp or the first few days of the acclimatization period of training camp. And then we'll have a day off and we'll get into some, full pads. There's days off in there and there's different days, and I'm just trying to be conscious of their bodies and their health and also getting the work in that we need to get in.
Eric.
Hey, Mike. I know in June you talked about potentially handing out offseason awards like you would during a normal off season. Did you end up doing that? And if so, what were some of the things that guys were able to do to stand out to you during what was a very unusual off season?
Yeah, I think I appreciate you bringing that up. I haven't been able to recognize those players in front of the team because we haven't had an opportunity to have everybody there. You know, our first full squad meeting won't occur until the afternoon of August 2nd. Just the way that these two groups overlap and how they, you know, acclimatize themselves into training camp. So that will occur. And really it was just my evaluation, coach's evaluation of who we felt like really took great strides and in the meeting room. And, you know, it's a good mix of players. Some of these players aren't full-time starters. Some of them are relatively new to our team. Some of them have been here, but just the development and their progression in our system through the meetings.
Paul Kaharski.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Paul.
For starters, where will that team meeting occur on August 2nd, and how will you be able to gather everybody as you need to?
Right. I don't know if I had my mute on when I just mentioned that. It would be bubble. Or you were checking your Twitter. Or I'm not sure, Paul, but I'll revisit this again. I want to thank the people that allowed us to move into the bubble with social and physical distancing. Anthony Pastrana, our video coordinator, and all those members of John's staff that turned our bubble, you know, into meeting rooms. And that we have speakers, we have wireless headsets for the coaches, for each coach to wear. Assigned seating so that players are coming back in the same seat after they leave. We clean them, but they're coming back into the same seats. You know, we'll obviously clean them. Our cleaning staff, Johnny and LaCoya, who are going through here after people leave the weight room. You know, there's a crossover time. You have to build in time to clean the weight room. But we have screens outside set up. So that's where we'll be doing all that stuff. And we'll transition from a squad meeting to a special teams meeting and then to our offensive and defensive unit meetings.
I'm sorry, I missed the very beginning.
That's okay, did you also, Paul. Did you also go ahead?
Did you also cover whether Jadeveon Clowney's been to town to meet with your doctors or if he's scheduled to do so?
As of now, I don't think that Jadeveon Clowney is scheduled to be on a flight in here to meet with our doctors as it stands at 12:27.
Thank you.
Terry?
Mike, some of the teams and people around the league have talked about an idea of quarantining their quarterbacks and not allowing them to intermingle with each other because of the risk of potentially getting or spreading the virus among them and being without a quarterback. Have you given that thought any consideration as you go through camp and get ready for the regular season?
Well, I think that's a conversation that we'll obviously have to have when it gets closer to the season, Terry. I think we're at a time now where, you know, we have to trust the testing procedures and the protocols that are in place and allow these guys to meet and to walk through. But there's going to certainly be conversations that we'll have to have as it relates to players and you know, whether that's, you know, there's the practice squad is bigger and there's four players that you can protect and that you can bring up whenever you need to and take them back down. And you know, there's a lot of different things with the roster that are going to be different. But as of now, there hasn't been a conversation as far as, you know, keeping a guy away. Does that make him safer unless he's in a true quarantine, you know, at his own house and never leaves? Is he any safer outside than he is in our building, you know? So we can protect him here. I think it's everybody's responsibility, our players and our coaches and our staff to make sure that we're doing everything that we can when we leave here to be as responsible as we can be.
Corey Curtis.
Hey, Coach, welcome back for another season.
Hi, Corey.
Just,
wondering about the locker room situation. Can you be compliant with 80 guys in there, or have you had to figure out another way to house guys, and how is that going?
We went through that process early on when we knew that this was going to be something that we needed to do. And we were able to install dividers in between the lockers that go out, 4 feet, so that there's a divider in between each locker. Everything that you do needs to be submitted through the Players Association and through the NFL. That process was approved. And so we were able to house everybody in one locker room. The other alternative was, you're going to have to make the bubble you're going to have to put lockers out in the bubble and go from there. But, we were able to install dividers that passed that was sufficient for the protocol.
Teron?
What's up, Coach?
Hi, TD.
A lot of the coaches across the league, head coaches, that is, they're doing things just like specifically for them, just to kind of be extra cautious, or like things are implemented, protocols for them, especially the older head coaches. Not saying you're an older head coach, but is that something that has been approached for you?
No, I mean, I just think that we have to continue to rely upon the daily testing that we're in now. And then again, be responsible as we leave here. We put a lot of time in here at the building, which obviously I personally feel very, very comfortable and safe in. And then head home. So that's my plan as it relates to my own personal health.
Also, with the evaluation process, as you get ready for that, not having the preseason games, how does that change like the way you have to look at some of these undrafted guys or even roster bubble guys?
Well, I think the evaluation will start here when we get into the meetings and the walkthroughs, and then continue. And then when you watch them at practice, you have to evaluate the competitive situations. Can they stay on their feet? Can they tackle? We may have to have, some scrimmages where some of these younger players are in a live situation as it relates to tackling, and they're so critical on special teams. I'm not ready to tell you that we're going to go live on special teams, but we're going to have to put guys in competitive situations to be able to evaluate them. And we've done that in the past when we have had games, so or scrimmages. We've split the team up before, and we've had players draft teams, and we've gone out and operated in the stadium, and we'll have to have some of those days.